You know, it seems like if something's not up on a billboard or in a 30-second video or just somewhere really easy and quick for us to get some graphics and take the information into our brain, we don't look for it. We don't care. We don't think it's important. But I'm here to tell you, there are some real gems if you look a little bit deeper and slow down. And just see what kind of some of the smaller print has to say. I found this out when I was in the Welcome Center in Copper Harbor during one of my post office shifts over the winter. And I wanted to share some of those gems with you. Bum, 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 bum. Thank you, thank you, and welcome to A Fresh Air Inspired Life, showcasing Copper Harbor from the inside and the importance of kindness, connection, and community. Brought to you by Copper Harbor Vitality, I'm your host, Amanda Wise, and it's great to be here. Today I am in the Welcome Center. I am sneaking in to show you some really awesome things and read about them because you can't see on this podcast. But one day when I was working in the post office, I was kind of bored. You know, in the winter, there's not that much going on. And I just read some really interesting, just these little cards are in these glass cases. And I've never read them before. You know, I live here. What do I need to read these things for? But oh my gosh, I read some real gems. And what I wanted to do is share them with you. And the first one is about the Copper Harbor One Room Schoolhouse. This one I just found fascinating. So here is, it looks like Becky typed this up. And she says, "The story as I remember it, as told to me by Rich Jampson." Back in 1940, the mining company ran the Copper Harbor School, but wouldn't keep it open for only one student. Don Dow Jr., whose father was caretaker for Fort Wilkins and or the lighthouse, question mark, not sure. But the school was so important to the residents that they went in search of more students. They found them in one family living in Chassel, over an hour away by today's roads. The Hamanas, with seven daughters, six school age at the time, made up the needed number to keep the school open. Are you getting this so far? They went to Chassel to find a family to bring to keep the school open. Oh my gosh. The residents of Copper Harbor found the father a job with a lumber company, and they built a home for the Hamina family. The house wasn't quite finished when they moved in for the school year. So in the second story, without floorboards yet, the beds and dressers were carefully set on the floor joists. And walking along on the floor joists was a balancing act. So these kids were upstairs walking on the joists to get to their bed. This shows what good sports the Hamina family were and the dedication of Copper Harbor to the education of its children. Wow, this story blew me away. And now this is in the, what would you call it, the southeast display case here up against the wall. There's all different pictures of people in the schoolhouse, and there is the picture of the family who moved in, and you can see they're all standing in a row from oldest to youngest, making a little diagonal line of heads going down the picture. Pretty cute. But I do want to keep to the point of that the one-room schoolhouse is still to this day really important to the residents of the community. And I believe that if that would happen again, where there was, it actually has to be at least one student now is our minimum, one student. I think if there was zero students, the people of the town would also try to recruit and possibly build a house to make sure we could keep that school open. It is just crucial to have, and important if this town is going to be a place where families can come and live and stay alive. We do need that up here. So thanks for listening to that one. Next, I'm going to bring us over to another case. I'm facing north here. This is the Estevant Pines Wilderness Nature Sanctuary, Michigan Nature Association case. And while I was looking over some other things to read, I came across, I didn't see this in here before, a black bear skull. There's a skull of a black bear in this case. It is pretty cool. It's only got one big incisor, but then some of the back teeth. But man, is that's cool looking, if you ask me. So black bear skull, come on up, see it for yourself. I'll take a picture and put it in our behind the scenes. So if you're not a member of Patreon yet, just check it out, Copper Harbor Vitality at patreon.com, and sign up to get the behind the scenes of all these episodes. You know, what are some of the things you didn't hear? What didn't you see? But anyway, we're going to move on to, in this case, I want to read to you about the Mary McDonald Preserve at Horseshoe Harbor. Have you been to Horseshoe Harbor? It's a mile. Is it a mile? About from the end of the road, or the beginning of the road, however you want to say it. But it's an awesome place with that big, giant conglomerate outcropping that you can't help but climb if you are physically able. So let's read about this. We will be forever grateful to Mary McDonald for her generous and forward-thinking gift of this outstanding preserve, now under the stewardship of the Nature Conservancy. Immerse yourself in the beauty of this unique part of the world, from the ancient fossilized stromatolites, the vast lichen communities, the storm-stunted forests atop the Copper Harbor conglomerate outcropping, to the fragrant balsam poplars whose scent fills the air on humid days, and the frogs and algae in the pools. These are just some of the flora, fauna, and geological treasures to be found in this preserve. Please do not disturb the frogs. Their population was decimated in the raging storm of October 2017 when waves of 25 feet battered the Keweenaw shoreline. That was a whammy of a storm. As you carefully tread the knobbly conglomerate surface, take notice of the tiny violets and other wildflowers nestled in the crannies of the rocks. You may also find the sky blue harebells. While appearing quite fragile, these flowers manage to withstand the onslaught of crashing waves. They really do. Contrast them to the stunted goldenrod nearby that grows to only 10 inches high. Larger species that occupy the top of the outcrop are the junipers, cedars, and juneberries that creep along the surface of the rocks, also withstanding the waves and winter blizzards. And then we've got a picture of the bird's foot primrose, the green frog, the conglomerate outcrops, and twin fly honeysuckle. One more thing it says here is, the harbor has been a port of refuge from superior storms over the millennia. Historians are sure to be interested in the stories of shipping and shipwrecks and of the ancient to historic copper trade. Very cool. Mary McDonald Preserve. You know, I forgot to read one over at the first case with the schoolhouse. We're going to go back to that case. It's about Hunters Point Park. So let's see what we have to say about that. When threatened by private development in 2002, the residents of Copper Harbor rallied together to keep this beautiful property open for public access. The acquisition of the property was made possible by the generous support of thousands of people under the leadership of two Richard and Sharon Powers. Richard and Sharon worked tirelessly to manage the fundraising efforts, land acquisition, and development that went into making Hunters Point Park as it is today. In addition to three grants awarded through the Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund, Copper Harbor residents and merchants, the Copper Harbor Improvement Association, and the Copper Harbor Downtown Development Authority, thousands of supporters from across the country donated funds and provided letters of support for the Hunters Point project. Hunters Point Park is open for your use as a result of the combined efforts of these contributors and Richard and Sharon Powers. Enjoy Copper Harbor's special place. And there's a picture of Richard and Sharon with their Hunters Point sign, smiling. They're proud. I'm so proud of them. So to think of some of these people who help preserve the lands, like the Powers and Mary McDonald, it's really awesome to see how people can come together and rally and make these things happen. Along those lines, another cool story comes from the Michigan Nature Association, Estevant Pines Nature Sanctuary. Let's read this one. This is back in our last case back here facing north. One of MNA's most popular sanctuaries, Estevant Pines Nature Sanctuary, was originally part of a 2,400-acre tract of land owned by Edward Estevant of Paris, who sold it to Calumet and Hecla Mining Company in 1947. I never knew that, but I did know it sounded French. The tract was sold to Universal Oil in 1968, and the area was threatened when Universal Oil cut down 300 acres of forest nearby and began plans for future logging. MNA led a three-year statewide fundraising campaign to purchase 200 acres of Estevant Pines from Universal Oil in 1973. Concerned citizens from the Save the Pines Committee helped in the fundraising that led to this initial acquisition. Three additional acquisitions occurring between 1989 and 2019 have expanded the 570.5-acre sanctuary, which protects one of the last old-growth white pine stands in Michigan. Two loop trails bring visitors through the towering pines and forests. The 1 mile Cathedral Grove loop passes some of the largest and oldest giant white pines, growing more than 120 feet tall and dating back 500 years. Named after MNA's founder, the 1.2 mile Bertha Daubendieck, I should have looked up that one, Daubendieck trail winds through groves of large pine, maple, and oak. One pine on this loop was determined to have germinated around 1695 after a wildfire swept the ridge. The two trails intersect and be completed as a 2.5 mile hike. More than 85 bird species inhabit the old growth forest, including woodpeckers, hawks, and red crossbills. Despite thin soil and boreal climate, several wildflowers grow, such as asters, clistonia, clintonia, baneberry, and violets. A wild variety of ferns, like maidenhair, spleenwort, and holly fern, blanket the forest floor. Thanks to the dedication and perseverance of Michigan residents, Estevant Pines will be protected and enjoyed forever. That's a really popular place for people to go. You know, they come here and, where's the Estevant Pines? Where is that? So that's pretty cool. There's some other cool photos in this case. there's this neat one of Jim Rooks. We interviewed Hannah Rooks a few episodes ago. So Jim is her dad. He inspects the Estevant Pine logs cut in a trespass in 1988. So here's Jim on these logs that are the diameter is as big as his toe to hip, and he's kind of straddling a couple of these logs that are stacked in a pile. He's straddling these. Wow, that is a very cool picture. You can find that on our behind the scenes also. There's photos by Charlie Eschbach, who also was a big proponent of that saving of the pines. So very cool. This is very cool. I'm skipping over to the next case here, the one closest to the door, facing north, and it's full of pictures. And one of the little signs in here says, "We are the spirit of Copper Harbor." And what really attracts me to this case is I see names like Jim Westcoat with Napoleon, Judy Haskins Davis with her coyote, coming over here, Wally Jamson piloting the Charles J, Christine Jamson, the fisherman's daughter. I mean, these are people's family. These are the ancestors of people who still live in Copper Harbor. And now to watch their families grow, you know, and have descendants still here in Copper Harbor, that's just, it's so awesome to watch the generations as they go through and what it used to be like. I mean, there is a picture of cutting ice on Copper Harbor Bay where they literally have a spinning saw wheel. That saw wheel must have a diameter of 2 feet. And they push it to cut the ice into blocks. And then somebody else takes one of these. It's just metal with two hand grips and a giant prongs to open and close, like a giant pair of, not tweezers, but like a hemostat, to pluck the ice out and then gather it to bring it back to shore. Amazing. I mean, I'm not going to tell you everything that's in here because I want you to come see it for yourself also, but wow, just some really, really cool things that I feel are easily overlooked or not all visitors know. Hey, that's so-and-so's grandma, that's so-and-so's uncle, that's someone's family right there. And here's another gem for you I feel worthwhile to talk about is right when you enter the Welcome Center and you turn to the right. It's a blue-covered map on the wall and a cutout of Keweenaw County. And Becky must have done this because the strings on it are sparkly copper. So that's just my guess. But it's labeled color-coded. Green are the hiking trails. Yellow is scenic overlooks. Blue is the waterfalls, and purple are the old mine locations or ghost towns. So around the perimeter of this map, these color-coded places are written with the names, and then the strings follow the name all the way to the location on the map. So if you are coming in and you're looking for scenic overlooks, find the yellow. Oh, Brockway Mountain, it's right there. Great Sand Bay, it's right there. Mount Bohemia, it's right there. So easy to come in and find where these places are. You could take a picture of it with your phone. I'm going to. You can come in and say, where are the hiking trails? And look for the green ones and find, oh, Mount Lookout / Mount Baldy, Lake Bailey, Brockway Mountain, Hunter's Point. You can come on in and you can just find just a whole category of what you're looking to do. That's pretty awesome to me. I just love that map, and when I worked at the post office, I recommended people would also check that out. So that's a lot of the history of what's in here. There's things about Isle Royal, Fort Wilkins, wildflowers, a whole case on geology and different kinds of copper. Listen to this. There's cleaned native copper specimen, copper crystals from Cliff Mine, native copper, not cleaned, native copper that looks like, oh my God, it's so flat and full of holes, you could bend it and make it into something. Okay, I guess they're all called native copper, but they're really in different looking specimens, that's for sure. I'll have a photo of that on the Patreon as well. And then the Keweenaw copper mine shafts. Red Jacket, Kingston, Amik Number 3, Cliff Mine, Central Mine, Delaware Mine, and Clark Mine. Once again, there's a big map of the Keweenaw on the wall, and these shiny copper strings that attach down to, I wonder who made this. It's like somebody built this out of plaster and painted it and attached lichen for trees. So cool. And it gives you an idea of how far down each mine shaft goes, how many floors down. I don't know if they say floors. My apologies. I'm not a mine expert. But all these mines, where they're located and what their house looked like on top and how far they went down and how they offshoot, it is really cool. That's worth staring at for however long you can stand it. But another cool thing about this is that it shows the giant copper vein that just looks like it was squished out through the Keweenaw as it was made. So super exciting. But I was going to say, yes, there's lots of history in here, but also what we do have are, we do have some new kiosks set up in here that show what's happening now, you know, shows what happens through the seasons. I think they're kind of interactive because there's a mouse. So yeah, come on in sometime, see Becky, pick her brain. She loves talking about the place so much that it blows my mind. yeah, just, I guess my point is really take some time to look and see what's in some of these cases. I will be honest, one thing that I kind of skipped over is the Gull Rock Lighthouse, because we're going to have someone talking about that next episode. I'm super excited to have him on. But yeah, there's just so much to look at. So come on in, see Becky, and if you can't, check us out on Patreon and get the virtual tour that way. Thank you so much for listening. Till next time. Read some of the little things that are written and be good to yourself. Ba 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 da 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 ba ba da ba do da da ba ba da.